As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
I'm sorry, you can sit there and look and play with all your silly machines as much as you like.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Himself 6 feet into the crowd and kung fu kicked a supporter who was without a shadow of a doubt giving him lip.
Oh, I say, it's amazing.
He does it tame and tame and tame again.
Crank up the music, charge your glass. This nation is going to dance all night.
A penny for Harry Kane's thoughts, but nowhere to spend it. Peter Drury corners the opening day monologue market, a twinkle in the hard drive of the fixture computer. Who can and cannot be welcomed to the Premier League? Newsreader Hugh Edwards turns himself into a transfer rumour and a truly mountainous task for one Prem-obsessed Twitter account. Brought to your ears by The Athletic, this is Football Clichés. Right now, you can subscribe to The Athletic for just £3.49 a month. That's 30% off the full price of a subscription. You'll enjoy great analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, as well as ad-free versions of all of our podcasts. So go to theathletic.com/clichéspod to take advantage of this special discount. That's theathletic.com/clichéspod. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 86 of the Football Clichés podcast. I'm Adam Hurry, and with me, first of all, is Charlie Eccleshare, who was at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday afternoon, alongside, apparently, Harry Kane. Was he there?
Look, you hear conflicting reports. There were a lot of jokes going around that he could be spotted in the City End, etc., etc.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's a bit of a weird one. He didn't travel with the squad. And afterwards, Nuno was asked about it and said that unlike Hill and Romero, they were named in the squad despite fitness concerns and in Hill's case, just coming back from the Olympics because he really wanted them to kind of experience the stadium and all of that sort of thing.
Right.
And almost, he seems to be saying like, you know, get to know the processes.
Welcome
like, you know,
to the
like,
Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah, but also like in the way that if you started a new job, it's like, it's just, you know, come into the office, we'll show you around, show you the fire exits, that kind of thing. So I think it was more admin based than anything else, though Romero did come on for the last couple of minutes.
The thing about Kane is though, if he was there, where was he? Because, the first image I have in my head is he was sort of Laurie Sanchez style watching the game on a tiny telly in the bowels of the stadium. Where would he have been? Why bother turning up if you're not going to be visible?
Or just in disguise, amongst the fans, kind of gauging fan sentiment. Like, what do we think? What do we think of Kane, guys?
Yeah. I had a penny ready for his thoughts and everything, but I just couldn't see him. He was really annoying. He wasn't there.
Forgive me, Adam, for interjecting before you formally introduced me to this podcast. But I think the audience will get it. I think Sky should have gone the whole hog here, and they should have had Jeff Shreves popping up at various points in the stadium, just like going into the hospitality suite. Is he in here? Or going into the dressing room? Oh, we can't find him here. Just maybe he's in the loos, having a look in the toilets and like looking under the cubicle. calls to see if there's anyone in there.
That sounds like, more like a job for Patrick Davison. He's more interested. More of a gumshoe than Shreevesy.
Maybe they were scarred from when... Who was it? Was it Patrick Davison? Or who was it? Who was the bloke who did it at Huddersfield and went up to the wrong manager in the crowd?
That was Pat D, definitely. Oh, that must have been crushing, getting the wrong guy in the crowd. What a conversation that must have been. Anyway, but yes, welcome indeed, David Walker, interjecting there. Now, word reaches me, Dave, that this weekend you participated in the most 2016 form of football imaginable.
I hadn't thought of it like that until you wrote that on the running order. But yeah, I played bubble football this weekend on a stag do.
Where were you playing? Because funnily enough, I was playing regular Power League and on one of the pitches.
I was going to say I was playing regular bubble football.
Yeah.
I missed the week-to-week buzz of bubble
just
football.
Playing, just the regular season bubble football. It's great to have it back. And with
it's like rugby.
Well.
You need 4 days recovery after it, I think. I do feel like I've been run over. It's ludicrous.
We played the Shoreditch Power League and there was a bubble game going on next to us. I was like, oh, that does really take me back. Funnily enough, it's funny you say that because the only time I've done it was actually in 2016.
Yes! What are the chances? What are the chances?
Is it the same as Zorb football?
It's the same thing. Yeah,
that's
a big inflatable thing. And you don't play football. It's the opposite of football, really. It's the only time that I'm happy to be the player that does not want the ball.
Don't want it! Smash it! How long does the novelty take to wear off?
Yeah, about the first... We usually get split up into like games, like different little mini games, like after the first one everyone's knackered and hurting, but the organizer needs to earn his money, so he's dragging everyone up, picking them up off the field to go again.
I'd say if like five-a-side football is really really fun and powerly and paintballing is like the worst thing on earth, I'd say it's somewhere in between those
two.
Sounds
about right.
Because there is that same, as Dave says, there is that element like with paintballing but not same extreme. You've got a sort of sadistic instructor who's wants everyone to really not enjoy themselves.
That's what you need. That's what you need on a stag do, though, isn't it, Dave? You need someone to stop you being deflated at bubble football. We start in the most logical place of all, after the opening weekend of the Premier League. So good to be back. So good to have the fans back, as you said, Charlie. There were so many poems and spoken word montages flying about this weekend. You couldn't move for someone sort of ham-fistedly ramming some footballing sentiment at you in a vague order. But rising to the top of all that was the cream that is Peter Drury on the Premier League's world feed. I want you to listen to this in its entirety, 90-second entirety, Dave and Charlie, but I want you to pick out what you think is the most Drury little bit of it.
Do you remember how it was before? Do you still see it? In your mind's eye, do you still take that route to the ground, smell that pie past that pub? Do you still feel your place? Do you still hear your people? People. It's been so long, an absence that has ached. And so return, refill the chasm, restore the roar, resharpen the edge, let it be as it was before. Come in your colonies, come in your tribes, come in your flocks, your nests, your hives, bees and hornets, magpies and eagles, canaries and seagulls, gunners and hammers, foxes and wolves. Do you remember? Be with those you love and those from far away, the matchday life companion and those whose distant bay you cannot bear but would not be without. Freed from our confinement, let us revel in who we are. Bring on our champions, cherish our every star. Let us aspire and let us fear. Let us smile, let us shed a tear. Let us feel alive. Match day together. As it was before. The people are back.
A few tears in my eyes, actually, Dave, with that, because it was really nicely done. One particular part that jumped out was the twinkly piano bit at the end, which made it sound like a sort of Christmas time
horror
film.
It was really Christmassy.
Yeah, Dave, nicely put together, but what would you say was the most Drury bit of that?
Let it be as it was before.
It's so Drury. So Drury. It's like someone pretending to be from sort of Charles Dickens' time, just talking in that way, or was it Pride and Prejudice? That's how they must have spoken.
It's Christmas Day. The bit that really grabbed me, the alliteration, because obviously he loves alliteration, and I think there was alliterative tricolon where he grouped three together, and there was something about restoring, repairing, and there was one other rrr as well, it sounded like to me. I also, one thing I really liked that was quite jarring was in, obviously, listeners can't see this, but, you know, it's mainly really heartwarming clips of family members and things like that. But they also have Adebayor running the length of the pitch to goad the Arsenal fans, which I thought was quite a funny inclusion of kind of, yeah, we've missed fans being baited and goaded and storming the pitch.
It's one of those great things that it's a real hidden gem that we're obviously bringing to the listeners' attention now. But the Premier League World Feed obviously goes out to countless millions of people around the globe. But I feel sorry for the good old English football fan who doesn't get to experience that
Drury on a weekly basis. We should get the orchestra-backed kind of vague sentiment that the rest of the world gets. I feel like it should be made free in the UK or something. Apart from obviously the live games, I don't know. My standout Drury moment from that was just before it really got into gear when he says, "And absent that has ached." I feel like what was missing from these montages, Dave, was the more kind of mundane / unpleasant thing in football. I mean, I feel like Drury should be talking about a player going over to the corner and having levels of bile spat at him from the opposition fans. And just little things like that. That's part of football too.
The smell of the urinals.
The long queues at half time for beers. Maybe that's why the Adebayor thing was in there, to show the ugly side of kind of, you know, fans and, you know, giving players not very nice abuse.
That's about as ugly as the Premier League want their product to be seen. But yeah, in all, well done, Peter. Great stuff. Moving on. We do love a little bit of footballing small talk on this podcast, Dave. This is from Popmasters on Radio 2 last week. Thanks to Robbie for sharing this with us. Popmasters, the small talk on Popmasters is next level anyway, with Ken Bruce. But I feel like you probably know what's coming, so let's listen to it.
And you're a big Eurovision fan, I know.
I am, for my sins. I'm a Eurovision contest fan club. I've been doing that for about 6 years now, but a fan of the contest for as long as I can remember.
Right, and you've been to a few.
Just bang on, Dave, for his sins, and also letting us know just how long he's been a fan.
Brilliant.
To the year.
Is there anyone better in the world at small talk than Ken Bruce?
Incredible.
Just comfortable in any situation. But I think that instance of "for my sins" is actually more appropriate than the football usage of it. I think outing yourself as a Eurovision fan in some circles.
Pleasure,
yeah, a little bit. I mean, a lot of people love it. Fair enough. But for me, I think that's more appropriate than if you were a fan of Bradford City.
Yeah,
there's not like a humble brag element to that.
No,
it is a genuinely sinful activity.
Yeah, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
Yeah, agreed. Now, yeah, but perhaps it is the most appropriate usage we've heard so far. On to inappropriate / appropriate outbursts. Charlie, this felt almost too easy for me. This was Jamie Carragher laying into Arsenal after Brentford's second goal on the opening night of the Premier League for this season. I say it just feels too easy. I think Arsenal were just like a free hit nowadays. So you can almost say what you want, because the only people you're going to piss off, well, there's nobody left. Even Arsenal fans kind of agree. But I'm not going to say it went too far. I just thought it was a little bit too gleeful. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, he knows what he's doing, all right. You're playing Arsenal. Get it in the box. How you describe Arsenal defending here? It's just Arsenal. Weak. Bullied. Men against boys again. New season, same old story. Don't win the first one, let it bounce. Two Brentford players, get out the way. 2-0. And you said Pinnock's not taking the throw in because he's going in the box.
There's basically nothing. There's nothing new to say about Arsenal anymore. It's almost frustrating that they don't give us anything sort of new to say about them.
Yeah, I mean, I would say on this, like, that the long throw, all of that sort of stuff, that is quite sort of Stoke 2008. I don't know for how much that's been. I mean, I know Arsenal have been soft, obviously, but that was a fairly extraordinary. Sort of situation.
It feels simultaneously lazy punditry, but also completely spot on.
Yes, yeah. You can only pundit on what's put in front of you after all, but I really enjoyed weak, bullied.
Weak.
It was Drury-esque.
The thing that I found, the main coverage thing that I found, I was going to tweet this actually and I got distracted, but I love Martin Tyler, as we know, but the I found the constant reference to the kind of extraordinary coincidence that they were Brentford playing Arsenal, and that was, I can't even fully remember it because it was said so many times I stopped listening. That was the last fixture Brentford played in the top flight, was also against Arsenal. But he was saying it was like as if it was totally random. It's like the fixed computer, what are the odds? But don't we sort of know that the fixture computer is not totally random? So it seemed to me like kind of saying like a wrestling story was extraordinary. It's like, but it has been preordained. Like, it's not. And also, I don't know, it didn't feel that crazy a coincidence anyway.
I'm really glad you've picked up on this, because I didn't see the game live, the Brentford game live, but I was just watching the Man City, Tottenham Man City game on Sunday, which you obviously were at, Charlie, so I don't know if you've seen the coverage, but Tyler did the same sort of thing. He mentioned the fixture computer, but he was talking about it in the context of the Harry Kane transfer saga, and he sort of said, I mean, maybe the fixture computer had a twinkle in its hard drive.
And boy, do we have a clip for you.
The Harry Kane transfer saga was well underway before the fixtures came out. I guess the fixture computer must have had a twinkle in its hard drive to give us this so early.
I quite like that.
I mean, just the connotations of the words hard drive these days are never good.
Yeah, never. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Not
really
not
thinking
a nice
on
topic.
His feet there.
But yeah, it was a kind of slightly mixed metaphor, but it sort of worked.
What he's done there, he's actually doing what you know, he's kind of the opposite of what you were saying about the Brentford game. He's implying that the fixer computer is sentient.
True. Yeah. maybe he reconsidered after the Brentford one.
Maybe we should get to the bottom of the fixture computer. There must be one.
You know, do you remember that TV show? There was like that kid's sort of like animated sort of, you know, like stop motion animation thing. There was like a big machine in a factory. Was it called like Bertha or something?
And
that's what I imagine the fixture computer to be. Like a massive, you know, one of those old computers. It takes up a whole room and there's like bits of perforated paper coming out of it and stuff. And there's a man who has
loads
to operate
of
it.
Lights that don't do anything.
Yeah. That's the fixture computer in the bowels of Stockley Park.
Yeah, exactly. In the bowels. Very good usage.
I imagine, and this is another film that I have seen, but is one of those that you feel like no one really has. 2001: A Space Odyssey. The HAL character, who's based on IBM, the letters once removed. I sort of imagine that's what the fixture computer is. He's this talking being that exists amongst kind of.
I'm afraid I can't give you an easy run in at the end of the season, Dave.
Exactly.
Speaking of fixture combinations, Dave, I thought the first Super Sunday of the season was a nice tight little number, actually. Newcastle-West Ham, which turned out to be 4-2, which is what you want from a Newcastle-West Ham. And then Spurs-City as the main event. That was a really tidy little Super Sunday. I'd like that pretty much every week.
Thanks very much. Yep. No filler. Very lean, but delivered. Absolutely delivered. Because I think it's the right way round as well. You had an entertaining goal fest in the opening slot, and then an enthralling, tense, tight, tactical affair.
You knew it was going to be boring. You knew the second game was going to be boring. But that doesn't matter because you're going to watch it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You need in a West Ham Newcastle game, you're so in need of goals to kind of make that interesting. Otherwise, you're a bit like, I'm watching 0-0 between Newcastle and West Ham. What am I doing in my life?
But the thing is, Newcastle and West Ham is it's still a fairly attractive support act on paper, regardless of the scoreline for a neutral, because Newcastle have this kind of latent appeal that just won't go away. And West Ham are West Ham, and they could do something at either end that could be quite hilarious. So I just think it was the Newcastle West Ham is the perfect support act.
Can you, Adam, this, what am I thinking here? This is very, very niche. Or Dave, you may jump in as well. In 98, Newcastle West Ham at St James's Park. It was a game, West Ham won 1-0. Stan Lazarides scored the only goal, as I recall. Yeah. But it was significant for something. For my money, it was the first time that something had happened.
Newcastle West Ham.
Trying to cycle through potential Premier League oddities that this might be.
98.
I'm stumped. I am stumped.
It may have happened before, but it's the first time I'm ever conscious of a Premier League team flying to another Premier League team for an away game.
Wow.
I remember there being much hoopla about it, and for my young mind being blown that you could even do that.
Did Arsenal not fly to Norwich in 1992-93 then?
See, that was a later thing. I think that didn't come until like 12-13, and it was much, or maybe even 15-16. It was much
like a biplane,
wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like a really old plane in 1992.
Also, yeah. did you? I meant to send this to you, Adam. Do you notice on there was the first That Man from Jamie Carragher of the season on Friday? I think it was Tony he was talking about, but it was one of the many outstanding Brentford players. I think it was That Man Tony tracking. You know, there he is again, That Man tracking back.
Well, I mean, there's always a caveat. There's always a kind of get out for That Man, which is someone we've been talking about and identified as a key man before the game. If you've done that enough, then they become kind of That Man through the back door. If you see
sure,
what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah. He hadn't fully earned That Man status. Mm. That can only really come 5-6 games in, can't it? Because if it's based just on the season,
just on form
existing alone. That Man,
yeah, definitely, completely agree.
One thing I was disappointed with on Super Sunday was after our after we mentioned it last week with Joel Golby on Thursday, they've not done a new song. It's the same song.
I naively assumed it was going to be like Premier League kits where they just have a new one every year. How? I mean, surely that's where we're destined to get. I mean, you know, the attention spans and all that sort of stuff.
Signed a 2-year deal with whatever her name. What's her name? And what is
Celeste.
Her name? Celeste. Yeah.
I mean, but as the song implies, it's going to be hard to shift anyway. You're never going to stop this flame. It's never going to let you go, etc. So it's going to be hard to budge. But yeah, no. Looking forward to next season already. Similarly, on linguistic curiosities in football, Black Math writes in and says, Chris Boyd on Soccer Saturday described a strong challenge on Raul Jimenez as welcome back to the Premier League. Seeing as he's never left, is that permitted? In fact, I thought welcome to the Premier League was purely for foreign players on their first ever appearance. You're right, Black Math. You're right. Charlie, in summary, can you be welcomed back to the Premier League, context notwithstanding?
I think you can if you've gone away. I think the distinction's right there. An injury is borderline. Gareth Bale went to Real Madrid, came back. I think if there was an early reducer from an opposition fullback, that could be a welcome back to the Premier League fellow.
Well, as if his kind of,
because he might have forgotten
durability, you know, had worn off.
Yeah, because he's been playing in the soft La Liga, and then he comes back, and it's like, you know,
Lily,
this is
livid.
Yeah, this is the real quiz.
I never thought your inability to withstand Premier League challenges could grow back.
Given the fact that the last thing he did in the Premier League was have his skull broken, slide tackle me all you like, as long as you don't touch my head, you do what you want.
Yeah, no, lots of moving parts in that scenario there. But it gets worse, Charlie, because Joe Hooton has alerted me to the fact that on Five Live on Saturday, Premier League Hall of Famer Patrick Vieira got welcomed to the Premier League. Is that allowed on a technicality?
No.
He knows what this league's all about.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, but then it's probably too convoluted to say, welcome to Premier League management.
Yeah.
Welcome to being a head coach in the Premier League.
It's not a lark unless you've won, is it? It can't be a lark if you've lost.
And also,
this manager lark's not too, that's a very caretaker,
isn't it?
Lark,
isn't it? Yeah.
But it's also just being beaten 3-0 by one of the best teams. It's not like the Brentford situation where you've had something different to come up against, or you've been bullied, or it's a tough place to go. Stamford Bridge away on the first day, you've been beaten 3-0. It's, you know, it's fine. It's to be expected.
You could argue then that perhaps it's a more up-to-date usage of welcome to Premier League. Welcome to the financial disparity of the Premier League. Look at the options Chelsea have at their disposal. And maybe it was more appropriate than other usages. But Charlie,
did play for petrodollar fueled City, didn't he? Yeah, briefly.
he
should be aware of the financial inequalities. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, he should be under no illusions of the task ahead of him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the team's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham, all new, Thursdays on FX, stream on Hulu.
Ross McCafferty et al. Sent this clip in. Ross says, stunning work from Dundee United manager Tam Courts, who managed to fit easily half a dozen cliches into a single 11-second clip. This, again, is Drury-esque. But it is. It's effortless stuff.
Proud of the players. I asked them at the start to find solutions. We knew that this was going to be a ding-dong cup tie. I think I said that midweek. It was a real carnival atmosphere. And it was a game with a lot of thrills and spills, highs and lows.
Very good. Very good. I thought he was going to say at the end, he nearly went for a game of two halves at the end, didn't he? Just to round it off. But thrills and spills still work.
Thrills and spills. Dave, let's pick this apart. I feel like a manager or a player, anybody who participates in a match is not allowed to call it ding-dong. Also, now I think about it, thrills and spills, that's not for you to call either. That's for someone really lazy writing about the game to talk about. Neither of those things should be spoken by someone who was at the game or participating in it.
Should we go back through that clip and count how many there are?
Yeah.
Along with
I'm not sure there's six, but let's silently count as he goes.
Proud of the players.
One.
I asked him at the start to find solutions.
Two.
We knew that this was going to be a ding-dong cup.
Three.
I think I said that last week. It was a real carnival atmosphere.
Five.
And it was a game with a lot of thrills and spills,
six,
highs and lows.
Seven. I'm counting seven.
I'm going five max. I mean, you were at three straight away. What, proud of the players is a cliche, is it?
Yeah. Definitely.
He asked them to find solutions. You counted that one as well?
Yes. What does it mean? Yes.
What is he supposed to say?
I asked them to find solutions.
And they did. I know, maybe it's the style and the delivery.
They're not IT workers.
To give an insight as well into how kind of hackneyed one of them was, carnival atmosphere, that was often said on Dream Team at the start of a game. It's a carnival atmosphere. And that's sort of, you know, fictional football you're talking about. In a way that I think a game of two halves would only really be said by a fictional football manager, in a kind of really bad approximation of what a football manager is like.
All I ask is for one episode of Football Clichés where someone doesn't mention the holy footballing trinity of things I've never watched. Dream Team, Mike Bassett. And just wrestling, I think, actually, is the other one. But no, can't do it. Can't do it. Next up, alarming headline on the BBC News website, Dave. Hugh Edwards considering his future at BBC News at 10.
Wow.
Now, weighing up his options.
Yeah, there really is a huge kind of footballing element that cuts through this entire article, but it goes in so many kind of footballing directions. First quote, "A time comes when you're bound to reassess what's in front of you," he said. So this is kind of a bit like Harry Kane kind of weighing up his kind of future options, like, where can he go?
But he's the top, you know, Hugh Edwards is the top man, isn't he? He's a very, you know, at the BBC, he's a traditional powerhouse of journalism in this country. It's not like he doesn't need to go and win trophies elsewhere, does he? Unless he's got a big money offer from GB News on the table. But he doesn't feel very GB News to me,
no,
Hugh Edwards.
Not.
Key question, how long has he got left on his contract?
Yeah.
Or check Transfermarkt, but that's always...
Well, he signed
huge,
a new four-year deal, which keeps him at BBC Broadcasting House until does the maths.
So, yeah.
Just reiterates so, how long his contract is.
In which case, BBC hold all the power there. And you do fear for Edwards if he really has any leverage.
Charlie, you will appreciate this next quote. Now a big milestone is here, which is 60 years old. It's natural for a man to think, am I going to continue in this job for another 5 years or do I want to do something different? Said the Carmarthenshire Rays journalist.
That's amazing. I mean, is that second mention?
I think it might have been.
Wow.
I
thought that you'd save that for kind of third or fourth. The Welshman or something.
No, I should point out this is a BBC Wales. Wales programme.
So the Welshman
was a bit of extra context. But yeah, otherwise it would have been very random.
Wow. Straight in with that.
Dave, I put it to you that he's not allowed to say the following words. It continues. But in the Welsh language interview, he said he was a natural broadcaster and would not be giving it all up. You can't call yourself a natural anything.
No, of course you can't. Absolutely not.
Not for you to say.
We better keep our eyes on News at 10 then this week, because if he's mysteriously not there, he hasn't travelled to Broadcasting House and Sophie Raworth is in the chair tomorrow night, tongues
There'll
will
be
wagging.
Of,
yeah,
a lot of eye emojis on Twitter.
Signing off after a successful broadcast with a Hugh who?
And then people being like, disgrace that Hugh Edwards hasn't congratulated the BBC News team on a really impressive broadcast.
Absolutely. Here's the final quote, which makes him sound like he's giving up national broadcasting to focus on local broadcasting just to extend his career. He says, I won't disappear tomorrow from the 10 o'clock news, but I'm still enjoying myself. But of course, I'm thinking about the working patterns of the future. And the truth is, I don't want to sustain these working patterns for a long time to come because I don't believe it's a very wise thing at all. So he's resting his eyes, what? Lips.
Is this like, maybe it's going to be like they say about Messi going back to Newell's. Hugh Edwards has always wanted to end his career in Carmarthenshire.
That would be incredible, wouldn't it, if he went back to the local radio station.
Just absolutely lording it all over the other, just making it look effortless. Just it.
He should do it for free.
It so easy. Great. Yeah, I'm so glad I put this in at the last minute. This is fantastic chat. It really is. More retiring.
It's quite cathartic, I think, because having spent the last few weeks doing Kane stuff and kind of being in this world, to actually take a step outside of it.
Definitely. Yeah, very nice. You may recall, both of you, from a previous episode a long, long time ago, we broke the story, in a sense, of the most unhinged undertaking on football Twitter, which was the guy who was documenting every single player ever to have played in the Premier League in order. So he's finished that. He did that.
I followed that in real time as well. You know, I had set like notifications to my phone, I think, because I wanted to see the Watford players first time round, and I knew they were coming. So I thought I'll put the notifications on and then I'll see it. But I just never took them off. So basically, for the last year, I've had every single Premier League player pop up on my phone on a regular basis.
That's a nice thing to keep having come up on your phone, just random players. But of course, he's finished that now. And so, Charlie, he needed a new project. This was his mission statement. We'll be travelling back to 1992 to bring you every Premier League goal described in chronological order, from Adebayor and Aguero to Zola and Zuniga. So I thought, I mean, this is incredible. It's something like 11,000 goals. What I didn't realise about this, Charlie, is that he's going properly to town on this. There is actual descriptions of every single goal. I read out the first one, which of course was
Brian Deane. Yeah, I saw that the other day.
Carl Bradshaw's long throw into the area is headed on by Clayton Blackmore, and at Dean O'Brien 1968 is the quickest to react, heading the ball past Peter Schmeichel to score the first ever Premier League goal. This is mammoth. How boring are some of these goals going to be? Like, think of the most unremarkable Premier League goal. He's going to have to produce a paragraph on it for our amusement.
I can't believe that the level of detail like is going to be required for every goal. Like, the bar has really been set pretty high there early on. How are you finding that much detail on every Premier League goal? Where are you getting it from?
It's in a Rothmans. I mean, it's you have to kind of look up the goal.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, the Rothmans just has the results, right? It doesn't have a description. You have to go, is he like in
That's
the
a really good point.
British Library, like going through all the newspaper archives or something? It's incredible. Another thing that really jumps out at me from looking at these first batch of tweets. In the main, the goal scorers, you know, strikers or attacking players, usually. And we kind of heard of them all. They're all familiar names like Brian Deane, Lee Chapman's here, even like Nigel Pearson, Steve Bould, defenders who are scoring. But because of the level of detail, he's got like these random, you know, he's talking about defenders or goalkeepers who are beaten or like people who've assisted. I've just never, ever heard of. I mean, Gary McAllister's cross into the penalty area is not dealt with by Roger Joseph. Who the hell is Roger Joseph? And there's just so many. Gavin Johnson is mentioned in a goal up here. Like, who are all these just, it's absolutely amazing.
This is what I said the other day, and I was told that Spurs' new signing was called Brian Hill. I was like, that to me is a name that would pop up on Premier League years, like a fullback for Oldham or something.
But definitely only in the first 2 years.
Yes, oh, yeah,
such
yeah,
a
yeah.
first 2 years.
Yeah, it's Oldham for me. It's very first 2 years of Oldham.
We talk about this kind of intermittently, but the proper glamour era of the Premier League really didn't kick in, Dave, until sort of 95, 96. Mm. When proper big signings and transfer coups were coming in. Before that, it was sort of hangover Football League. I don't want to say, well, I will say journeyman and kind of, mediocre players. Like Shearer's first Premier League goal was set up by Tony Dobson. Who's he? Yeah. Who's Tony Dobson?
We track down Tony Dobson.
Find out next week. He's going to be on Mesut Haaland Dix on Thursday. At this rate. Nice and appropriate that we're talking about Premier League years right now, because it's time once again for Premier League years playlist bingo. Charlie, you weren't here for the astonishing scenes last week when we talked about the sensational undertaking by Mr. Wenger, who's created a playlist of every single song ever played on Premier League years. It's a frankly incredible piece of work. So I'll let you go first for Premier League years playlist bingo this week. Choose a number between 1 and 1,375?
587, please, Adam.
587. So that's putting you roughly around the turn of the millennium, I think. Anyway, it's On the Run by The Crescent. Sounds like the Premier League anthem from mid-2000s.
It works, doesn't it?
Yeah. What's it about? I've never heard of The Crescent.
Well, on the Run, is that, it's like, and Liverpool went into November looking to extend their unbeaten run to 7 games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was trying to think of a Premier League player who's ever been a fugitive.
But
escaped capture.
Fleeing his... That would be quite a dark hue to cast over it. Oh yeah, you can well imagine this. This I can see is one of those days where it goes from bad to worse in a kind of 6-1 defeat and the goals are raining in. Middlesbrough players lining up to smash low ones into the corner at the Riverside.
Yeah, I think about it, we don't want to get too bogged down with the title of this song or the sentiment it's trying to convey. I think it's just the style of the music is so obviously extended highlights of a game from various camera angles, isn't it?
Yeah. I think this is... It might even be one of those games that Sky so happened to show as Super Sunday, so they have a disproportionate amount of footage, so it gets a lot of airtime. As Middlesbrough got their season up and running against Blackburn.
It's like poor man's stereophonics, this, isn't it?
Well, I think... When is it, like, 2001 or something? Is it that sort of era?
I don't know who the Crescent are at all. Never heard of them. But, yeah, this is definite 3-0 win for Aston Villa, continuing their very impressive form under John Gregory.
It's just work. I can just picture it. Just absolutely
sliding tackles.
Fits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Random close-up of a player going...
2002, apparently.
You can just picture the ball, you can picture everything.
That is amazingly evocative.
Yeah.
What we need to do is get in touch with the person who made this playlist, because surely they will have a document that says...
I'd like to think they have a spreadsheet with all the incidents listed next to the songs. I will ask. Imagine, how much would you pay for that information? How much would you pay? I'd pay three figures. For that data,
yeah, I think. Well, I think if we combined our combined wealth, the three of us here, I think we could make it an attractive
33
offer.
33
quid each. Yeah,
pretty inexpensive. It's fine.
The thing is, though, that is slightly jarring is that in Premier League, the year of the song doesn't always correspond exactly to the year,
no.
Which I always felt
a continual frustration for us. I feel
it's not quite that strict, which maybe is a good thing because you want the perfect song, but it's not. It doesn't quite capture that moment in time.
Well, on that note. We are going to be on the run, and we'll be back on Thursday with the next episode of Football Clichés. Cheers to you, Dave.
Thank you.
And cheers to you, Charlie.
Thank you, Adam.
See you, everyone.
I'm Ellis James.
I'm Mike Bibbins.
And I'm Steph Guerrero.
I would kill off with any footballer to get a Premier League
game,
would you? Not a problem.
Ian Dowie.
We've got a comedy podcast called The Socially Distant Sports Bar.
It's Liverpool versus Arsenal here at Anfield. It's the big kickoff. New player Mike Bibbins, who got off with Ian Dowie in the week. Jurgen Klopp, of course, said that he's perfectly happy to play Bubbins in a front three alongside Salah, Firmino. Bubbins, 48 years of age, has never played football, but he snogged Ian Dowie for 2.5 to 3 minutes as stipulated according to Premier League guidelines. Dowie said he's got no idea how good Bubbins is. Word on the street is that he's not great, he's morbidly obese.
It's about sport, but not really.
He's not fit and he doesn't know where to stand. His first touch is woeful, and I mean woeful. But he got off with the entire last. Those are the rules, son. It's a new guy that I don't agree with it. Gary don't agree with it. None of the ex-players.
Shut up. I'm gonna die.
Download it from wherever you get your podcasts.
The Athletic.